Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
That I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, my Shekinah, my presence, will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said unto him, if your presence will not go with us, carry on not from this place. For wherein shall it be known that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech you, show me your glory. Show me your glory. This scripture clearly tells us that there is one defining mark that is upon everyone that God puts his hand upon. It is not miracles. Anointing is very important in the life of a man, but anointing is still on a lower level compared to glory. You can lie under the anointing. You can't lie under glory. This guy, this Moses, is a pastor of 5 million people. And yet he said, God, I am not going to take a step further. I know we are already making some progress. I know we are in the permanent site. I know that I'm getting married. I know that things are happening in my life, but I am not willing to go into this next phase. Sometimes you can become all techie and you have all these solutions and applications on your phone and you seem to know how you are going to get things. And God, and Moses is saying, Father, even though I am the leader of these people, he said, I cannot go, I cannot afford, I don't want angelic assistance. I want you. There's a place for angels, don't get me wrong. He said, show me your glory. I want to know the man I am following. I want to know the person I'm dealing with. I don't want to be an outsider. I don't want to follow you from the outer court. The thing with the glory is that every time God advances towards us in his glory, it comes on the strength of who he is, not who you are. When he comes with his glory. The Bible says, when the Lord shall appear in Zion, he shall manifest in his glory. So God doesn't show up everywhere. Can I tell you that your life is a container for the glory of God? Come on, say, Father, fill me. Say, Father, fill me with your glory, with holy fire. If Moses, after so much success, and you need to understand that bringing the people out of Egypt was not a small feat. It was a good time to relax. But Moses said, I have worked with you, but I realize that there is yet another knowing of you that I need to come into. One of the most dangerous things that can happen to you as a believer is to play two. When you get to a point where you are satisfied, when you allow the things going on in your office, the things going on in your home, the things going on in your family, when you allow it to distract you, listen to me, your advantage is the glory. Your advantage is the glory. The challenge with the glory is that it comes with a price, and that price is your life. That is the price that many are not willing to deal with. Because God said, no flesh can glory in my presence. How far do you want to go with God? There are two things you will pursue in life. Either you pursue the glory or you pursue success. That's all. But I want you to know that the glory of God is tangible. And even now, God is looking for vessels. There are people saying that if it is true that this God is everything, like Gideon, if it's true, people are asking questions. And they are looking very far. And God is saying the reason why people are looking far away is because you didn't step up to it. William Branham. William Branham was a prophet, not educated. And please, I want you to hear me with your spirit. Because there's something about the glory that is different. In the scriptures, who were the two people that walked in strange realms of glory that you know of? You pick Moses and you pick Jesus. Huh? How many of them do you know where their bodies are? I don't know if you are listening to me. The body of Moses, God did not allow it to touch the ground. Because he's going into the ground with every work that has been wrought in it. Even Elisha, that carried a double portion of the anointing, not glory, anointing, in his deadness, raised the dead. He didn't know he raised the dead. He was dead. Why don't you let the glory of God touch you? There is something new in the glory. Can I tell you that it is not an age thing? If God's glory touches you, I remember I was listening to Benny Hinn, and he said, do you know that Benny Hinn is believed to be the one to have carried over the mantle of Catherine Kuhlman? But they never spoke one word together like this. He just sat in the meeting. Listening to Catherine Kuhlman. And that is where he got his popular song from. Hallelujah. He picked it up from Catherine Kuhlman. He started wearing white suits like Catherine Kuhlman wore a long dress. Do you know that after Catherine Kuhlman died, that long dress she used to wear, a church took over the dress and they used it for Christmas parties, end of year. That long dress, they didn't see it fit for anything. But end of year party, like Christmas presentation, when an angel will come and say, oh Mary, for you shall conceive and have a child, and you shall call his name Jesus. If I have that kind of dress, I'll be wearing it to sleep. It seems you don't know who Catherine Kuhlman is. Catherine Kuhlman is the woman nobody gave a second chance. But when the glory of God touched her, then she said, Catherine is dead. This woman here is not Catherine Kuhlman. The Catherine Kuhlman you know is dead. Benny Hinn sat listening to her, and the result of what you are seeing today is the ministry of one woman on a boy, a young boy's life. Because he was still a boy. A young guy. God can touch you with his glory. And nothing earthly will make sense again. Moses walked with God. He said, if I found favor, I don't want to follow you from outside. I don't want to follow you based on principles that I know. I don't want to follow you based on what seems to make sense. I don't want to follow you. I don't want to come to church and be hearing things like I'm in a business school. I want to know you. How would you like to go to the hospital and the doctor is telling you, do you have a vision for your life? Do you have your purpose? Have you written out your vision statement? Yes, doctor, I'm sick. I didn't come here for this one. We need to be healthy first. That's what many people want to come and be hearing. Why God is thirsty, waiting to find one man he can touch. When God was going to arrest Apostle Paul, he manifested in his glory. He saw a blinding light. You see, but the others that were with Paul didn't have the same experience. Are you hearing me? The people with Paul, they didn't have the experience. Paul was with them, but he was having another experience. Just the same way we can be in a place together and we are having separate experiences. Moses said, God, if I found favor, give me a car. You commonize what God can be for you. You commonize what God can do in you when you reduce your request to things like car. You apparently don't know who he is. God, we want to experience your glory. Let me explain to you the science and the transition into glory. For you to come into the glory of God, you cannot even begin the journey without a desire. You must have a very strong desire. And the basis of this desire is what determines even the kind of church you can go to. Are you hearing me now? I said your desire for God is what determines the kind of church you can go to. The fellowship I used to attend when I was in the north, our church had no windows. We had no microphone. We had no speaker. We didn't pray for it. It was not a desire. Because we are always under constant persecution. When you are under persecution, you just settle for the things that are important. So that when the thing comes, you can run. But I remember in that classroom, I remember so many things that happened in that classroom. When we had a special conference, you will see a hall filled with over 1,000 people. But when it was time for us to pray through into the glory, you will find 15 men. But it didn't matter. Because your glory into journey is a personal one. Aaron and Moses can be in the same church, but their desires will be different. Aaron may just be bothered about church work. Today, if a pastor decides to leave the church and goes to wait on the Lord for 1 month, people begin to ask questions. But Moses left a church of 5 million people and went for 40 days. That was the requirement. You want to step into glory, you need to sacrifice time. And what is the devil contending for you in your life now? Time. And that's why I told you, if you want to walk with God in Lagos, you have to be creative and ruthlessly stubborn. This is not the one you'll be saying if you want to pray. Do not let your neighbor know what. If you enter my car, you will hear me praying. No. My car is my prayer room. Because that's why I like driving alone. It's not because I'm a loner. It's because that is when I can put on my CD and I begin to blast in tongues through the traffic and all the way till I get home. Because if you are not smart, mama, you will not pray. You can be in traffic and the truck will just be there. That's prayer time. These people have come again. No, don't say it. Glory time. Glory time. The first time I experienced the glory of God, I was around your age. I was even younger than you. The language of the glory realm is a language that a child can understand. I may come here and begin to speak all the thermodynamics and I'll be speaking physics, but the language of the glory realm, you need to be a child. Even though Moses was a man that was married and he had children, he had to come and say, please, Show me your glory. He said, if I can find a boy, someone that is like a little child, I can manifest my kingdom to him. Sometimes we read God's word and we become so knowledgeable that our response is now zero. Have you ever come into a house before and you just sense the glory of God? You see what God said? He said, I will manifest myself to you and I will give you rest. That means one of the primary elements of glory is rest. You can sense it in the atmosphere. You just come into a place and you, have you gone into a place and you sense fear in the atmosphere? You sense depression. The glory of God is real. The glory of God is your destiny. That's what God is calling you to. That's your destiny. But do you even see that? Do you know, if you start this journey, you will run this race to your final day on earth. There was a man in the scriptures, his name was Solomon. After all the battles that his father had fought, and then the father tried to build a temple for God, and God said, no, your hands are stained with blood. So what he did is that he collected all the materials, the blocks, the paint, everything, cement, everything that would be needed for the building. And he commissioned his son to build it. But you see, he also taught his son how to pray. Do you know what I realize? People who walk in glory, it is not the pitch of their sound, of their voice, that makes glory come. When your voice is registered in the realms of glory, every time you open it, they know you are there. Don't sell yourself short. Your destiny is what? It's glory. He said, for the glory that thou hast given to me, John chapter 17, I have what? I have given to them. That means he doesn't have it anymore. Our Lord Jesus. Because one of the things you notice when you begin to play around the realms of glory is you begin to learn that if you want to stay here, you must learn the protocol of honor. The protocol of honor. You cannot survive in that realm if you don't have vocabulary for honor. So at some point, I began to correct myself. And every time I mention his name, I correct myself and put Lord in front of it. Lord. Because he is the Lord of glory. He's actually Lord. If Satan sees him now, before he says the word, he will first honor him. Did you hear what I just said? I said, if Satan sees him now, he will first acknowledge him. He said, for verse 18, he said, I beg you, show me your glory. Verse 19 of Ezekiel 33, and he said, I will make all my goodness to pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be merciful on whom I will be merciful. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there no man shall see me and live. However, behold, there's a place beside me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. You want to see my glory? You stand on the rock. There's a rock that followed them from Egypt to Canaan. His name is Jesus. Listen to me. If you go for the glory, there are some battles you will not fight again. Because in the innermost court, the holiest of all, they don't fight battles there. The warfare can go on in the outer court. The warfare can go on in the holy place. And let me explain what I'm saying. God's agenda is built into three layers as placed in the temple. Number one, we have the outer court. The outer court is where a man comes before the Lord. You will start by repentance. And please understand that when I'm talking about repentance, I'm not talking about just people who are not saved. I'm talking about the heart posture that a believer maintains. He is not careless when he tries to come to God. He's not assuming. You see, God said, come boldly. But he's coming boldly, but he's not careless. So when you repent before the Lord, it's not because you sinned. For a believer, it's not always because you sinned. Repentance is in two ways. There's the person who has actually done something wrong and is repenting. There's that sense in which I'm coming before the Lord and I need to be washed. The priest, the high priest, must allow washings to come upon him. He has to be washed. He washes himself from his pride. He washes himself from his personal aggrandizement. He washes himself from his achievement. He washes himself from his anointing. He unearths himself of humanity so that God can clothe him with divinity. Are you hearing me? I am not talking about something that is out there in the blues. I am talking about repentance. So when I come before him, I come before him and I'm saying, Father, I want to come before your presence, but I'm asking for mercy. I want your mercy to come between me and you. I want to receive grace. I want to receive strength to stand in the place of intercession. I want to lift up my voice, but I need the covering of mercy. Yes, I know he has provided it, but I still ask. The journey of glory is an eternal journey. That is why some are more anointed than others. You can be more anointed than somebody, but for someone walking in the glory, you will feel a depth. There's a depth to his ministry that is different from just anointing. You can impart the anointing. You can't impart glory. So in the outer court, what are we doing there? In the outer court, there is the place of the washing. So you bring yourself there. Now this is the catch. If you come before the Lord and you get to the outer court and there are washings and you lie to yourself. You see, because have you seen anybody who goes to the boxing ring and boxes himself? You don't box yourself in the ring. You look for your opponent. Okay, so but there are people who feel if I ask you to tell me, okay, what's going on with you, you will probably tell me the good side of yourself. But if you are coming before the glory, you can't hide anything. You are going to come before God and say, God, I still like women. I'm struggling. It's not anointing. You will say, God, I'm still addicted. I'm struggling. You will come with everything. You cannot cover a part. You cannot take the part of the Bible you like and leave the part you don't like. You will not get there. Why am I saying this thing to you? Because everybody wants to get the best of God, but people are not willing to pay the price. I am telling you that it starts with repentance. And it's not just that you committed sin. It's laying your crowns down. You lay Australia down. You lay Canada down. You lay United Kingdom down. You lay your PhD down. Everything that you think would have made you who you think you would be, you put it down. Then you now say, I will only take it if you say do. If you don't get to that point, because the thing is, at every point in your journey in glory, at some point, the elders will still need to remove their crown and worship. And if your PhD stands in the way between you and him, there's going to be a problem. You'll be sent out and you'll never be given passage again. I want to read a scripture to you. Psalms chapter 57 and verse 11. Psalms chapter 57 and verse 11. Even though God is everywhere, God doesn't reveal his glory everywhere. I listened to a particular brother and he said that they experienced more glory and anointing in their house than they did in their church. And his mother was not the pastor. He says his mom is a single woman, single mother. He said, but the mom was, because there was constant praying and worship going on in the house. He said, even though he was the child of a single mother, he saw more powerful things happening in their home than their church. So the glory is not tied to any location. It's tied to a life. It's configured with a life. Every time you register, just the way you may, like in my office, when I used to work in the bank, we have different ID cards for different, there are some ID cards that you can swipe and get into certain places. Mine is just a normal ID card because we are not big. But there are certain ID cards, they are configured with chips. So when you want to get into a particular office, they tell you it's out of bounds. But if you have the that kind of card, you just swipe. Maybe like our IT department, you need to swipe to get in. I have interest, it's not what they are saying. Do you have the kind of card? It's not interest. We are not looking for interest. Do you have the... So if not, you have to wait for somebody that has the ID card that can allow you passage. The outer court is where many of us stay. Do you know what we do in the outer court? Outer court is where we have praise concerts. Because it's convenient. That's where we sing. A lot of people gather there because the requirement at the outer court is not so much. It's repentance. It's washing. Then many times we think that because we have crowd there, it means they are right. It's just like when you go to a restaurant and you see another woman selling a Mama Balkis. You see her by the other side. And then you notice that most people are going to Tobe's kitchen. So somewhere, this is your first time, you just assume that for people to be going there, that means the place is okay. It's not like that in the outer court. People gather there because the price is not really so high. It's just $10. It's just $10. But if they tell you to come and pay $10,000 for ordinary masters, then you will think well and go to Unilag. How much is $10,000? Times 500 in pounds. 10,000 pounds. That should be like 5 million. 5 million. Now, if you go to Unilag, you will not pay more than 250. You can even start another business. You can even dash me money. You can even pay for my own masters. Two of us will be going to school together. You even give me money, lunch money. By the time you finish spending money on me, you will still have like 3 million left. Because me, I eat, so I will be asking you for money. Then you now go back and come back to Nigeria and they tell you that you move from being underqualified to becoming overqualified. So why do I go to UK only to come back and be the same problem, no light, no water, generator, you know? So you stay back. The price that is required at this level is very small. And that's why you find people congregating there. It's easy for them. It is there you can hear messages on success. Outer court. I'm talking about outer court messages. Success. There's nothing wrong with it, but it should not be too much. I'm saying that outer court messages include how to succeed. I hope this one is good, though. Is it good? Should I go ahead? Does God want you to succeed? But it's still outer court. Does God want you to marry? Does God want you to marry? But it's outer court. Does God want you to get a PhD? It's just the first level. Outer court. So don't get me wrong. You can marry. You can travel abroad. You can relocate. There are people that don't think their life will amount to anything until they relocate. Between the outer court and the only place is washing. When you wash in and you enter into the holy place, what do you have there? You have the bread, show bread. You have the table. You have the candlestick. You have the lampstand. What else do you have there? What else do you have there? You guys don't read Leviticus. You only like Psalms, Book of Psalms and Isaiah. You have Aaron's rod that budded. So you look at the lamps, the candle. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That means that when you begin to come into the holy place, there is one activity God wants to see. He wants to see a flaming spirit. He wants to see a flaming spirit. A spirit with fire on it. Not the one explaining why she can't pray. Come on now. Are you still here? The goal is where? Where are we going? To the glory. But for God to pass you into the glory, he has to prepare you. A lazy man cannot press there. So you see things like the shoe bread. The bread there is symbolic of the word of God. So your spirit, your life must be calibrated. Your life must become one that is as such that is under the authority of the word of God. When you ask a lady, please, can you marry me? So that she will not look cheap. She will tell you that, let me pray about it. But she's not praying. I can tell you for free. She wants to take time to assess you, whether you are the one that will block her destiny, or which is okay. So she tells you, give me some time. But when the thing becomes 7 months, 8 months, then you have to call her and say, come, what are we doing? If it's yes or no, tell me. The world will not come to an end. If Amaka will not go, Onyebuchi will go. Or Onyechi will go. Nobody can use marriage to drag anybody. Somebody will marry you. The one without child is a child that will bury him. The one with child is also a child that will bury him. Nobody should talk to should deceive us and say because your name is Onyeye, then you cannot go for it. If Onyeye will not do, Tobechukwu will do. Inside this place, God begins to prepare you such that your decisions are based on the things and the realities of the Spirit. You begin to operate in revelation. That fire on the candle is revelation. Are you hearing me? That fire on the candle is... I'm telling you why many people like God, but they don't want to come close. Because now, until he lights your candlestick, you don't have any... You don't have any illumination. You don't have any sense of direction. You are not praying and saying, God, direct me, and then you are planning something somewhere. It was when I began this journey that I realized that love is not enough when it comes to marriage. It's not enough. I hope you know that in the Korean culture, if you are of blue blood or if you belong to the royal class and you are going to be the next king or emperor, you don't marry for love. You marry for duty. It's a duty. So they just tell you, that's your wife. When you grow up, deal with it. If she happens to be fine, good for you. If she's not fine, good for you. But we have chosen. That's it. Then you too, when you go up, punish your own child. Choose his own wife for him. Am I saying you should not love your husband? No, that's not. We are not Koreans. I'm just telling you that as you journey with God, you will get to a place where it will not just be love. If there is no divine approval, you will tell the person, I better change this message. Do you know that most people who we marry in the outer court? And God understands. He gave us 3 levels. You will choose your level. When you begin to say, let's see how it goes, we already know you are in the outer court. When there is no persuasion in your spirit, and I'm not talking about love, I'm not talking about feeling, because any man that buys things for you, any man that picks you from work, any man that takes you to see a film, any man that is nice to you, somebody that gives you money for your younger brother, say, don't call mama, how much is school fees? Take 70,000. You begin to love him. That's the way it is. For the man, if he is sick, and you start coming every day, how are you, pastor? How do you feel today? Say, I'm still feeling pain. Okay, hold on. You cook for me. You go back. You cook for me. By the seventh day, I'll be saying, it's like since she started coming, I've been recovering faster. Don't worry, we understand. It's outer court, but we will join you. Don't worry, we will join you. So why women respond to care in a different way? Men respond to care in another way. But all join, we'll still join you. But when you want to begin to step into the inner court, Sister Tobe, I'm really grateful for what you did for me. Are you going to prayer meeting tomorrow? I said, which prayer meeting? I'm here for you. Because now, you need an element of revelation to make that decision. And currently, there is no revelation. So you owed. Don't let a woman not make perming her hair deceive you. Most of those people plaiting their hair, they can't hear God. These ones that are making their hair like Agnes, they hear God. I'm not joking. And I'm telling you from personal experience. Don't be deceived by outward looks. That is why God takes his time to pass you from the outer court. With each layer of transition, you are unearthing yourself of carnality. I told you, I said, because of this type of gospel, I started attending a church that had no windows. We were using a classroom. Because I looked all around Bauchi State, I couldn't find one church that was teaching the glory. So when you begin to move into the inner court, into the holy place, you begin to deal with things like revelation knowledge. You begin to receive inspiration when you study the word. God begins to speak to you by the gifts of the Spirit. You begin to experience prophecy. You begin to experience so many things. Those things are the foundations on which God will lay and then pass you into the holiest of all. Please understand that where the glory is, it's not in the holy place. What you find at most in the holy place is the anointing. What you find at most in the holy place is the anointing. And most pastors are stuck there. Most pastors are stuck there. So don't worry. You are not the only one failing. You are not the only one failing. Many pastors are there. Because the thing about the glory is that the moment I decide to be a preacher of glory, I will have to hand over the church to Jesus. You didn't hear that one? Uh-huh. So, me, I want control. So, God will say, put him in second class too. There are things I will not want to do as a pastor. And God will say, do it. I don't like her face. God will say, she's the next pastor. It's not like we are not trading likes here. It's not like and share. Share, share, share. Like. Follow. Tweet. It's not that one, though. That is the next pastor. QED. So God prepares you in the holy place for that kind of instruction. You might have had a conversation with him today and say, oh, we are going to do this tomorrow. And then wake up and God say, no, you are not going there. Move my people to water. Okay. No committee. No, and you know, when you want to really delay your destiny in Africa, form a committee. Say, let's have 5 people. We are going to discuss the issue of our permanent site. You will be there for the next 5 years. You will not. Did they increase the price of the land? And then you can't even buy it again. And the landlord will be laughing at you. Bishop Erekpo said when they got to a particular property, because I keep asking, why is it? What is he doing, Otta? We should have bought the old Ibeju. Even me, are we going? Let your sentence come out of his presence. Let your sentence come out of his presence. You may not understand what I just said. It is glory that helps you see a man that is nothing today, and you are seeing the future that the glory is beautiful, and you say yes. It is glory that helps you see a woman for who she is and not the tips, shape, fingertips that makes you make a decision. You can be looking at catwalking. You catwalk into the gutter. God is taking his time. Because if God dumps, even though Jesus said, the glory that I have given, that we shared, I have given it to them. If God dumps it on you, you will not survive. So it passes you through a refining process. One of the processes that God can pass you through is that you begin to talk to your husband and then you notice he ignores you. And then you begin to cry and then you expect him to come and pet you and God will tell him, don't pet her. And then from there, you will discover your prayer life. Now, don't worry if you want to be in class 1. I'm going to class 3. I'm just telling you that you cannot be thinking like a normal human being if you want to be in class 3. The moment you reach class 3, you don't have one desire on earth again, including owning a house. If you are lucky, God gives you one. No problem. And one of the marks we know, you will have no attachment or affinity to this earth. This thing I said, go and write it down. When you get there, you will not see anything on this earth that is worth dying for. That's how you will know. Another point we identify, because some of you are still thinking that maybe until you go to the US, that's when your destiny will blossom. Look at this scripture. Psalms 57 verse 11, and I'll round up. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Above where? Above where? I thought God lived in heaven. Are you seeing something? This glory is the Shekinah. The manifest presence of God. And this is a prophetic declaration that God's presence cannot even reside in heaven. Heaven is not holy enough for him. Let your Shekinah be above all the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And what is God saying? Say that earth. That's his verdict. Anything you like, sing, dance. Fit for a stool. That is his verdict. You can say anything you like. That is what he said. That as beautiful as this earth is, can you look at everywhere? Have you seen Los Angeles before? Go and Google it. At least you can go there in your mind before you go there physically. You don't need visa to travel in your mind. All of that. See Paris and die. That every glory you see on earth today, God cannot touch it. It's only his feet. Then he said that heaven, if I die, I will see my brother Jesus and sing hallelujah, amen. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. When we're in our other church, that's how. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, amen, amen. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, amen, amen. And then we'll see, and then we close eyes, and we are just, we are lost. We are in heaven. You, in that, my church, you can't be designed for earthly things. We wear sandals on suit. We don't have passion. We don't have passion for worldly things. What's that? Is it not just to go to the office and come back? You know, just go. Just wear something. We wore slippers. We wore bedroom slippers. Sure. Nobody asked us why. Nobody told us that our destiny was not bright. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, amen, amen, sing hallelujah. You just feel heaven. You can't lost in church. You can't lost. Even the songs we are singing, you can't lost. Any spirit of lost will wait outside. I have an anchor that keeps my soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. You learn. You will sing him when you get to heaven. Keep saying you are not Catholic or Anglican. When you get to heaven, for the first 1 million years, it's only him who will be singing. Don't learn it to stay there and be saying we are contemporary. Which contemporary song did you know 10 years ago that you are still singing now? Those hymns, many of them are 500 years old. Stay there. Say in our church, we are contemporary. You will soon pass away. Let your glory. What does that mean? He said, the heaven is my throne. Everything that you see in that heaven fits for a stool. So where God sits is in heaven. His body and head is elsewhere. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That heaven that you want to go to, that they built mansion for you, that they bought land and built mansion. The mansion you could not build on earth, now you've gotten it in heaven because you are very lazy. Who told you didn't build mansion? Who told you have mansion? Go and ask how much they are selling land. My friend, Pastor Wale, Evangelist Wale, he said, Bishop, he said, you know, Pastor Wale makes us cry anytime he talks. He was here once. He said, it's like some of us are already collecting our reward from here. I say, what happened? He said, some of us, we are getting reward. He said, some of us are thinking when we get to heaven. He said, the sign that you will get, or you'll be seeing it here. When people even bless you, man of God just want to bless you without giving you a mansion, give you a car. Say, you are here. You are living in Igbonta. You are living in Igbonta Rigi. Nameless place, not on Google map. And you are saying you have mansion. Even God doesn't live there. Say, let your glory. That means that the only man that can access God is a dead man. That's why I told you. Between the only place, and I round up now. Between the only place and the holiest of all. That means even in God's sight, holiness has category. This one that you are still saying, nobody can be perfect. We are all man beings. We are all pencils in the hands of eraser. All those rubbish. That you are feeding yourself, which is why you are still living in sin. We are all pencils. You are a pencil. I'm not a pencil. You are not only a pencil. You are a tree. You are a contraption. Let me tell you, when the glory of God comes upon you, you won't see cloud. Did you hear what I said? Some people are looking for cloud. That's the cloud, it's out there. If you go out, you'll see it. I said, when the glory comes upon you, Tina, you won't see cloud. But you see, because nobody can touch God's glory and live, how you will know the weight and depth of the glory is when there is opposition. And the glory will fire back. This is a level above the anointing. Don't settle for the anointing. Don't settle. The anointing is good. You need it for service. But your own status should be glory. The price tag for the glory is your life. He said, Moses, no man can see my face and live. What he was telling me, that what you are asking for, I need your life for it. He's not saying he won't see it, but you will not. You still love your wife? You still want to go to America? Okay, forget about the glory. But if you want the glory, that passport will not be useful again until I say so. You will not wake up in the morning looking for breakfast. You will wake up and say, are we eating today? You see, the issue of going to school, working in the bank, working in Chevron, working in embassy, so that we can have control over our life. That control now, God says, give me. You see why I say people say things that they are not ready for. At the end of the day, God will hold your hand. Follow me. That's all. Follow me. Pick your cross. Follow me. Where are we going? Follow me. He will not answer you. Where are we going? Follow me. Do you see why some of these things? Let's just be seeing cloud. Let's be seeing. I'm not saying there's no cloud of glory. I'm telling you, this thing is beyond cloud. There's a way you press into the glory. The heavens take responsibility for your upkeep. The heavens take responsibility for your upkeep. When you begin to operate in glory. When God means ask me to lay my life down, what exactly is he asking for? He's asking for my personal goals, my visions. Are you hearing me? God is asking for my goals. He's asking for my vision. He's asking me for my desires. He's asking me for my agenda. It sounds sweet, but this is where we are going to have problem. It's only God that can call a man who is earning 6 figures and tell him to come and be serving him and be earning 4 figures. It's only God. Huh? It's only God. Without apology. He's not apologizing. Do you know that Abraham was a rich man before God called him? So why did he listen to God? It was when Stephen was being stoned that he told us why. Stephen said, the God of glory appeared to Abraham in the land of Mesopotamia. What God Abraham saw when God appeared was glory. That glory made his money look like rubbish. He packed his bag, followed God. Go and check Acts, book of Acts. When he saw the glory of God, he knows that this one, Pangolo, let's go with this one. God will reap you. He will put you into rest. All those, we need to also, we need to rush, we need to move. You will just wake up one day and you'll be at peace. The day you have food in your house, good. The day you don't have, we bless the name of the Lord. Some of the pains we feel because we pressure ourselves with unnecessary things. And these are things that if we had laid them down at the altar, we'll be free. This fellowship I said I was attending, David, come on, so that you can know that I'm serious. You see, why I allowed us to minister to the Lord before I started preaching? Because I know we may not have time. Some people want me to finish preaching, then the Holy Spirit will move. So I beg those, we move first. I was trekking 2 hours to attend a church. Trekking, I didn't say entering transport. Trekking 2 hours to attend a church without windows. When rain falls, it will blast us from outside. I was a young boy. My parents didn't understand what was wrong with me. At some point, even when we now leave the fellowship and I'm trekking home, again, people will drive past me, going to my direction. People that I knew their cars, I knew their plate numbers. They won't stop to pick me. I didn't know God was preparing me. Trekking 2 hours. And if you know the way the north is, it's not it's not like the way it is, you'll be seeing cars. Trekking through the forest with grasses, alone, with chewing ireke. Because that's the only way you are going to survive it. Chewing ireke. You know what ireke is? Sugar cane. 5 naira, just bite. When I get home, they look at me. They are, is this our son? I was an object of scorn, but I saw something, David. I saw something. When I get home, even at that young age, and I go on the floor or over my face, because some of you don't know how to pray. You pray with Instagram. In those days when we pray, we lay prostrate on the floor, and the currents of electricity will be surging through my body. I wasn't a pastor, David. I trekked 2 hours to listen to a message, not to preach. There was nobody in our fellowship that we recorded that ever backslided. It was the training. The training. The same training that God, through mercy, gave to Catherine Coleman. The same training that keeps Baba Adeboye up throughout the night, pacing the redemption camp. At over 75 years or so, 77, 75, 77, at his age, every night, Kalaba Kotoro Bokoshira. Pray, gede. It should not be said that I won the old Nigeria and I lost my place before him. I told you, the evidence of glory is not in the way you talk. Go and check everybody that has encountered the glory. They are not usually fantastic speakers. The moment you begin to feel the need to want to be fantastic in your communication, check yourself. We didn't come to church for that. Check yourself. You don't have to be a fantastic speaker, but you must be a glory seeker. You seek the glory of the King. So this is a lifelong decision. And the prize is all. You want to work? You want to work? You want to have a good job? Put your certificate on the altar. Let him pick it and tell you where you'll go. The one, I'm not saying Chevron, I say the one that will give you peace. You want to marry? Put your life on the ground and say to God, If it pleases you, make it happen. If it doesn't please you, I am happy with you. You want to travel out? Tell him I am willing to go anywhere. Once it makes my king happy. And please don't tell me I don't know anything about it. I've lost many things for following him. I've lost many things. There was a day I woke up and I began to miss my life. My life, the way I used to know it. This is November now. They are going to pay 13th month. I know how much we are talking about. It's over half a million. Nobody is going to come in and say, for doing God's work, we really want to appreciate you. What I will get is a text message from most of you. Continue doing what you are doing. Oh, God will bless you. Continue doing what you are doing. Mashedada. Be good. My brother, if you stay with him on this journey, 10 years from now, it will not be the same story. I want to invite you on a journey to glory. A journey to lose yourself so that you can find him. Rise to your feet. The journey to glory is the journey to losing yourself and finding him. There's a book, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. Recently, or last year or so, the brother went to be with the Lord. Quraysh, Nabil Quraysh. Don't pray for long life anymore. Pray for God's will. The exchange rate is all. Go back home and list all the things contending for your time with God. Father, I pray for everyone at the sound of my voice. Let the window of your glory be opened over us. Let us be truly changed. Let us be truly changed. Anoint us afresh. But more than the anointing, we ask for your glory.